Hello, hola, greetings. Welcome to the 25th episode of the Radiant Sessions podcast. I am your host, Lou Selenia. Thank you for joining me this week. We are going to continue the conversation about shadow work and also talk about spiritual bypassing, as I mentioned in the last episode. If you are joining me for the very first time, thank you so much. Nice to meet you. Welcome to the family. If you haven't gotten a chance to listen to the shadow work episode from last week, you may want to listen to that. I go into what shadow work is and share some steps that you can take on starting your shadow work journey. But obviously, because it's so important, I definitely could not get into everything. And I have a personal goal to keep the episodes at a digestible length, considering most people are, you know, busy and attention spans are short. I know for me, as much as I love certain things, like, I just can't sit here and listen to someone for too long, and I definitely don't want to hit you guys with too much information. But thank you for coming. Thank you for supporting every week. I really, really appreciate all the kind messages, all the kind words, and all of the notes that I receive on, you know, a certain topic helping you or encouraging you in any way, shape, or form, sharing on your social media, asking your friends, sending to your friends, like, hey, you should listen to this. This is something that, you know, might resonate with you. I definitely appreciate it. So last week, where I left off, I ended the episode talking about how one step that I often don't hear people talk about when it comes to shadow work really is that shadow work is not something that you do just one time. Now, once you do know how to engage your shadow and do the work to integrate and change your belief system and, you know, all those things, it does become a bit easier in the sense that you know what to do. Not necessarily easy to face your shadow and really do the work, but it definitely becomes easier in the sense that, oh, you know what? I've done this before. I know what steps to take. I know myself. I'm aware of my triggers. This is something new, but, you know, I am more aware of who I am and how I respond and how I can work through this. But I wanted to also share even a little bit more about the benefits of shadow work and what issues can arise or issues that you may already be dealing with by neglecting or rejecting your shadow. So first, benefits. It helps uncover your core wounds, core beliefs, traumas, and or projections. Core wounds likely from childhood or a traumatic event that happened in your life that possibly, you know, marked a chapter in your life, like, this happened to me and I changed or my life changed. It also can help create profound clarity, understanding, harmony, acceptance, release, and inner peace in your life and the lives of the people who are connected to you. Because whether we realize it or not, our shadow isn't just affecting us. It affects our loved ones. It affects our children. It affects how we show up at work, at church. It affects even how we may interact with strangers. It affects anyone and everyone that is connected to us in some way, shape, or form. It makes changes on the soul level, targeting the very root of our issues, not just the superficial symptoms. You ever know someone, I'm sure you do, that has some sort of addiction. It could be alcohol, it could be cigarettes, it could be food, it could be relationships, it could be sex. It could be addicted to anything, truly. And they work really, really hard to stop that addiction, to stop smoking cigarettes, because we know that nicotine and cigarettes and all that can cause cancer. They stop trying to drink because they don't want to, you know, die from some type of liver disease or whatever the case might be. They stop having sex and deal with, you know, and try to deal with the addiction of sex because they see how it is preventing them from having healthy relationships. And maybe they're successful in stopping that specific activity. But then you notice that, oh, they're not smoking anymore, but now they're eating a lot and they've gained a whole lot of weight. Or they're not having sex addictively anymore, but now they're chain smoking. They're not drinking a lot, but they are addicted to working. They're replacing one addiction to another. And why is that? The real reason is because they haven't healed. They haven't dealt with their shadow at their soul level. They haven't dealt with their core wounds as to why that addiction was created in the first place. Because the addiction is a response. It's a response to something that happened to them that likely wasn't even their fault. But the addiction is helping them cope in some way, shape, or form, providing distraction, covering and concealing what you're really dealing with. And again, that's difficult. That's hard, because likely you're having and engaging in this addiction because whatever happened to you isn't something that you want to deal with. And I'm not going to sit here and, you know, preach about, oh, you need, but I'm also going to say that when you realize that your addiction, despite how it had aided you in response to a traumatic event or traumatic childhood or traumatic relationship or whatever the case might be, when you realize that it no longer serves a purpose, in the sense that it's not providing you comfort. You just do it because you're compelled to do it, but it really doesn't make you feel good. It's hurting you and hurting the people that love you and that you love. When you realize that the addiction is doing more damage, and in essence, empowering your trauma, is dragging your trauma along with you, giving it power over your life, where instead of dealing with it, instead of healing from it, because this is the thing, healing from your traumas and dealing with your shadow does not mean that you are giving someone license to hurt you. It does not mean that what that person did or what happened to you, that it was okay. Not at all. And I know sometimes that we hold on to the pain and to the anger because in some way, shape, or form, like, we feel that we have to. To not let the person off the hook. Or because if we disconnect from the pain, and the trauma by healing that, you know, maybe we are disconnecting from the person that we lost or the things that we lost. We don't want to grieve from the things that we've gone through because you think or you feel some sense of comfort in holding on to the thing that hurt you because you don't even know what it's like on the other side. But if you look around and take inventory in your life, and these addictions, holding on to this pain and this trauma, is preventing you from living the kind of life that you really want to, and dare I say, deserve to live, then I beg of you, I implore of you, please, please find a way to really unpack the beliefs that you've been carrying around with you because of the trauma, the pain, the assault, the loss. What have you been believing about yourself? What have you been projecting onto others? And how is that preventing you from manifesting the life that you have been meant to live? And if you don't feel worthy enough to live and to manifest that life that you want to live, then again, that's a shadow work thing. Somewhere down the line, I probably would even wager that somewhere early on down the line, something taught you, someone taught you, that you had to accept less and settle for standard and be just grateful for whatever you got. And last but not least, benefit of shadow work is a deeper love and acceptance for yourself, better relationship with others, including your partners and your children, more confidence to be your authentic self, more awareness of who your authentic self is so that you can be confident, more mental, emotional, and spiritual clarity, increased compassion and understanding of others, empathy for others and their experience, enhanced creativity, discovery of hidden gifts and talents, deepened understanding of your passions and ultimate life purpose, improved physical and mental health, more courage to face the unknown and truly live life, access to your higher self, and a feeling of wholeness. And honestly, I believe that is our purpose in life. I know back in the day, they, you know, the purpose-driven life was so popular. And I believe I've mentioned it before, like I was so very obsessed with like, what is my purpose? I don't know my purpose. I don't know my purpose. I don't know my purpose. Like, how do all these people know their purpose? I'm so lost, especially because I spent all the way up until freshman year of college saying, I'm going to be a pediatric neurosurgeon. And I thought that was my purpose. And I didn't become a pediatric neurosurgeon. I barely passed biology 100. I didn't, you know, like, so I was like, well, that's not it. Well, what is it? And doing the shadow work, going to therapy, you know, engaging my healing, you know, I remember a day, I wish I could tell you the exact date, but I remember a conversation I'm having with Spirit and I'm meditating and Holy Spirit was like, your purpose is to be who I created you to be. When you get clear on who your higher self is, and have the awareness of who your authentic self is, and you're confident to show up as your authentic self, and you have deep love and acceptance for who that is, what you do flows so easily. And then you get clear on who, on your calling. Once you realize your purpose is to be who you were created to be in all of your magnificence, then you can easily flow in your calling and know and realize that your calling will take on different shapes. You might be a teacher, but your calling and how you teach and how you show up as a teacher can and most likely will change. Sometimes for some people that means being in the classroom for 30, 40 years. Maybe it doesn't. Because wherever you go, wherever, whatever vocation, however you serve, however you volunteer, you teach. And you might get called to teach in a country in Africa. You might get called to teach at your church in at Sunday school. You might be called to teach seminars via business coaching. You might get, but you're still teaching. And too often we conflate purpose with your job, vocation with your purpose. And I don't believe that anymore. Our purpose is to heal, to be whole, to be. We're beings. We're human beings. Our purpose is to be. And when life and trauma and conditioning and capitalism and patriarchy and racism and misogyny and et cetera, add in whatever it is, weigh you down to put you in your place, to keep you from being all you can be, as the Army would say, then we got to do the work. And understanding, like, I never want to gaslight you because, one, most of the things I said, if not all of them, are systemic. And so there's healing that has to take place systemically. And there are those people who that is their life mission to be activists and, you know, do with politics and this and the other. But there's also the revolution of the individual. That while that is taking place systemically, to change things systemically so that as a society, as a culture, as a nation, as a world society, those things can change in that way, there's a personal revolution that we can do by engaging our shadow, by healing, by self-love, by engaging our spirit, by deepening our spiritual practice, so we can move a little lighter and walk upright and be happy about who we are and who we see in the mirror and be at peace with ourselves in our lives and our relationships. Now, when we don't engage in shadow work, out of either ignorance or stubbornness, because we just don't want to, or fear because we're scared to. Things that may be present in your life might be hypocrisy, lies, and self-defeat, both towards yourself and others, uncontrollable bursts of anger, emotional and mental manipulation of others, greed and addictions, phobias and obsessive compulsion, racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, and other offensive behaviors. You might suffer from intense anxiety, chronic psychosomatic illnesses, depression, sexual perversion, narcissism, inflated ego, chaotic relationships, self-loathing, self-absorption, self-sabotage, and the list goes on and on and on and on. One of the more prevalent issues that I see, not only in church, but in just the spiritual community at large, that I truly feel is a byproduct of not doing shadow work, is spiritual bypassing. Spiritual bypassing is a term that was first coined during the early 1980s by a psychotherapist named John Wellwood in the book Toward a Psychology of Awakening. According to Wellwood, spiritual bypassing can be defined as a tendency to use spiritual ideas and practices to sidestep or avoid facing unresolved emotional issues, psychological wounds, and unfinished developmental tasks. He started noticing as a therapist and Buddhist teacher that people, including himself, often wielded spirituality as a shield or a type of defense mechanism rather than working through the hard emotions or confronting unresolved issues. People would simply dismiss them with spiritual explanations. In other words, spiritual bypassing is like denying and suppressing the darkness in you and plastering it with like a pretty pink, sparkly, feel-good band-aid. The wound is still there, but it's covered up with something shiny and pretty. It can sound like commonly used phrases like, oh, that's all part of God's plan. Or, you don't need to be sad. God has given you so much. God forgave you, so you should forgive others. Just turn the other cheek. Don't be afraid. God has not given you a spirit of fear. Oh, you shouldn't be angry. Ask God to take your anger away. It could sound like good vibes only. Oh, love and light. Raise your vibrations. You create your own reality. This is all part of God's plan in response to anything bad that happens in your life or someone else's life. It can often give you, and often does give people, a false sense of security and happiness while avoiding the very things that spirituality is supposed to help us encounter, like our shadow and our ego. Growing up in church, you know, you ask people how they're doing. Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And, you know, talking to my siblings and talking to my friends my age, it'd be like, what? Like, I just asked how you were doing. Like, that's not how you're doing. But you cover it up with, you know, commonly used and acceptable phrases, spiritual phrases, to make it seem like everything is okay. But all you're doing is sidestepping and avoiding the unresolved issues. You're avoiding your shadow work. And it's so obvious. It's okay to acknowledge how good God is, but also be honest about the fact that you feel sad today. And then be curious about why you feel sad. What has caused you? What is happening in your life that is causing you to feel sad? Why are you angry? I posted the other day on Facebook that someone's therapist shared with them that your anger is the part of you that knows your mistreatment and abuse is unacceptable. Your anger knows you deserve to be treated well and with kindness. Your anger is a part of you that loves you. So imagine what you're doing when you don't allow yourself to feel angry and you respond with some spiritual saying trope that you've heard to make it seem like you're above anger, you are denying the part of yourself that is telling you this is not right. What is happening to me is not okay. You're denying the part of you that is trying to protect you from something that is happening to you. And it's not to say that responding in rage is okay either because of anger. That's not healthy integration of your shadow. An emotionally healthy person, instead of telling someone or telling yourself that, I'm going to forgive because God forgave, be honest and say, you know, I want to forgive this person, but I'm not ready. I'm really struggling. And that's okay. And then be curious about why you're struggling. Maybe you don't feel safe enough to truly forgive them. Maybe you feel like if you forgive them, that you are making yourself vulnerable again. And how can you take that information to set boundaries to protect yourself? Be mindful of any spiritual teacher, message, church, whatever, that teaches you anything that sounds like you as a spiritual person should not express your emotions. That because you are a Christian or a believer, or however you want to label yourself, that we are not supposed to feel pain, let alone acknowledge that we feel pain. That depression or anxiety or stress are a direct result of your sin or lack of faith. Those kinds of things enable people and teach people to spiritually bypass. Instead of teaching and modeling ways in which we can express our emotions in a healthy manner, use our emotions and our feelings to teach us and to help us to become whole. What can you do to stop spiritually bypassing? Again, we're talking about shadow work, so start doing the shadow work. But specifically, of shadow work, acknowledge your weaknesses, acknowledge your feelings, face your pain and your emotions, allow yourself to feel, create safe places for you to feel your emotions, and be curious about how you're feeling, why you're feeling, and what you need in order to not feel that way anymore. Get feedback from people who you love and love you and are trustworthy and will be honest with you. Write in a journal. Have an honest chat with yourself about where you are before and or after you've gotten feedback from someone and you really sat with your feelings and really gotten curious. Really dig in. Do the work. Explore yourself. Be honest with yourself. Slow down and be present and let your emotions teach you. Thank you again for joining me for this week's episode of the Radiant Sessions podcast. I am your host, Lucilenia. If you're enjoying listening to the Radiant Sessions, please visit Apple iTunes Podcasts and leave a review and let everyone else know why they should be listening week to week. Thank you so much. Visit me at www.lucilenia.com. I have some new merchandise available for purchase, as well as you can book an online session with me for coaching or meditation. Love you guys. Have a great week.